Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 21, The Force of Gravity. We're going to be talking about how awesome freaking Quake was in this episode. We're going to be talking about how Deke comes to save the day, Talbot's descent into villainy, and of course, that kiss, guys! Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That face is why I have to battle you to the death each and every week.
I thought it was cute. That's why I tried to pinch your cheeks
through the camera. I see you're trying to dress like Talbot today.
Excuse me. All blue leather.
Superhero uniform that isn't in any way, shape, or form menacing or silly.
Yeah, it's a superhero uniform.
You gotta trim those sideburns.
Yeah,
though,
I know. It's just gotta be the goatee and the white lines on either side. He's graying in such an amazing way.
Did he get the gray lines by like applying extra gravity to that?
Extra gravity
to
the hair.
Gray is distinguished. I gotta draw.
He
out
leached
some of the
color with gravity.
Yep, that's it.
Well, he did absorb Creel.
Yeah, so
we'll get to that. Anyway.
Creel absorbed the creatine in his hair.
Yeah.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome back to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Super excited to talk about the Mother's Day special.
Yes, the Mother's Day special. Happy Mother's Day out there, everybody. To Jesse's left, Taran.
That would be me.
And to his left,
all.
Zach Wilson.
I wasn't done. Taranos.
Hey guys, I'm excited to talk about this episode. Let's talk about this episode.
And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we're going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as the live chat once I pull that up. Guys,
yeah, I forgot my computer, so I apologize.
No worries.
To the live chat.
No worries.
You'll be fine.
Absolutely no worries. We'll get the live chat pulled up on our monitor over there. That'll be good. Yeah, guys, this is the penultimate episode before the season, possibly series finale. Mm-hmm. What are our thoughts on Friday night's episode?
I mean, I really like the direction the show's going in. Like, the last, like, 5 or 6 episodes have been super exciting. I'm really enjoying it.
This is comic book television.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like, and I like that we get what we get on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because you can go the opposite direction and use the comic book characters and make a good show. Like, Jessica Jones has proved that.
Yeah.
Like, Season 2, if you've seen it, I don't want to give away spoilers, but, like, they didn't feel the need to lean so heavy into the comic book mm-hmm. part of that character. They just made a show that was right for the character.
Yeah.
This is, like, let's go crazy with supervillain stuff, but still make it fit into this world and make it have some interesting, like, character and story arcs that are interesting to talk about. Like, the idea of defense of the world and what's worth sacrificing for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a moment where Graviton and Absorbing Man are hanging out together. And you're just like, are they going to bring in the Hulk? Because they're two Hulk villains.
They're just like, hey, man, what's up, soldier?
There was a line in this episode, like, talking about, you know, in Season 1, oh, man, could you imagine, like, what our reaction would have been if somebody had told us that this was the way things were going to be? Yeah, if we rewind to Season 1 and somebody had told you, Zach, there's going to be a scene with Graviton and Absorbing Man just shooting the shit.
I mean, Taran's theories of paranoid theories that the writers are somehow listening to us from, like, months in the past when they wrote these episodes. We've talked about this specifically on our show. Like, if you had told us that Talbot was going to do it, we would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? But it works.
Are they paranoid theories? And today, later on in our... What is it? News and gossip?
News and gossip. Yeah.
We might find out a little more about that. Zachary?
Okay, I guess everybody in the live chat. Taran has some sort of surprise for us. So, people in the live chat, we want to hear your theories on what you think he's going to be announcing. For me, looking at this episode...
An exclusive. It's going to be an exclusive. And it has to do specifically with... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You have to stay tuned and watch.
Guys, Taron is so giddy about this. Like,
he's hyping it up a lot.
I've never seen him giddy before. It unsettles me a little bit, but I'm into it.
We've seen him giddy. There was a point in tonight's episode where he was super giddy about what was on screen. We'll get to that when we get to it. But for me, this episode is distilled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
You have alien invasions. You've got awesome fight scenes. You've got spy espionage stuff going on. You've got great character interactions. It really does feel like the culmination of five seasons worth of things and ongoing stories. And we're getting lots of callbacks, and we're getting characters reflecting on how far they've come. I don't know. I'm getting a little choked up thinking that this and the next episode might be the last we ever get. So
yeah, I mean, so far ABC has announced a lot of cancellations to shows. They've been very quiet about S.H.I.E.L.D. So we still have no idea what the future of the show is.
Yeah, I mean the non announcement makes me like. I think is a good thing because you don't want to, you wouldn't, if they announced.
Sure, the non-announcement of not canceling the show is probably a good
thing. Well, no, because I just mean they announce other cancellations. So they're not like waiting on that, but with the finale next week,
they
don't want to announce a cancellation right before the finale. But they would announce
renewal. No, you would. And here's the reason. So that you can tell it's a series. If it's a series finale, you want to say last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Everybody
ever.
Tune in.
They always do that.
Yeah. Except that this season hasn't been written as the final season. So you
no, it was.
They, it was it?
The showrunner said that they didn't write it as a definite finale, but they wrote it as a, if we had to end it here, it would be okay.
Yeah.
So. I mean, the thing is, like, Disney is launching its own streaming service, and, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be, because it's Marvel property, would be a good kind of, like, a headlining kind of show that they could put on that streaming service.
That one, the one that, like, I've heard bandied about a little bit as a potentially, like, maybe it's going there is New Warriors.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or it may, that potentially getting retitled to just be Squirrel Girls show.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Because they shelved it from ABC Family, but the rumor I heard was that they shelved it because they were like, this is too good for Freeform.
let's take that and keep it for ourselves. Well, before we get too deep in the weeds with the episode, really quickly, guys, we have a quick announcement. If you guys want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life, do we have a podcast for you?
Yeah, we do. And it is Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. It's hosted every single Friday by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos. Also drops on iTunes. Make sure to check out Conversations with Maria Menounos. Features celebrity and influencer interviews. I was on the show many times. Along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. I was on the show many times. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And here's the best place. It's free. That's the best part of the whole thing. It's free. You can just listen to it. Listen to it while you're driving. That's what I do. A lot of people listen to it while they're working or when you're supposed to be working. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us, Taron, who sent you there, Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Yeah, if you guys want to know how to take over the universe, listen to the episodes where Taranos is.
That's actually a very fair assessment.
Also, if you want to just support AfterBuzz, supporting Maria, who is the head of AfterBuzz, is the best way to do it. So support her to support us.
Yeah. And there was actually a comment where someone was like, oh, I hate when they do commercials. It's stuff like this that allows us to have this platform to discuss these shows. AfterBuzz, you guys aren't in the studio. It is a very expansive and dedicated crew of people here. And they're doing things. Basically, everyone's basically on a volunteer service. So, and Maria's just putting in all her effort, and we appreciate her. And the easiest way to do so is just listen to the show. And then you'll appreciate her even more, because not only will you appreciate her effort on AfterBuzz, you'll appreciate her words. And she says some of the most profound and intelligent things I've ever heard. Maria's a smart cookie.
She's a great mentor.
It lets us continue to bring this stuff to you guys completely free of charge.
My favorite thing is when comments say, like, oh, these guys are just paid by Marvel to be kind to them.
As if Marvel would ever pay me.
Oh, my God.
Find out in the news and gossip section of today.
Okay. My bank account disagrees yeah. with that sentiment.
Say, do you know who I can call to make that happen? Yeah, I know. Because I would love to be paid to talk about how wonderful Marvel is.
I will gladly shill for you, Marvel. Yeah. I will be critical about, like, the finer points. Unless you want to pay me, but I'm open to it.
Well, anyway, again, thank you to Ron for that announcement. And yeah, guys, support Maria because she supports us and it means a lot to us. So, guys, let's talk about this episode. Gosh, I kind of don't know where to start because there's so much. Like, this kind of harkens back to season two, where there's just so much jammed into one episode. It's kind of hard to, like, pick it apart. Taron, you have a place you want to start. I think I know where it is.
Yeah, they kissed. Okay, so
they kissed.
Okay.
It
Phil Coulson,
happened.
Man, like a man, like a man, like a man, read the room correctly, okay? Had a wonderful, deserving, consensual kiss from May.
Like, you
as
know.
As opposed to?
You're like, you know in your head, in, like, Phil Coulson's head, this is the most romantic kiss that yeah. could have ever happened.
For two super spies?
Agent
yeah.
May
during
on
shoot,
a spaceship
being shot.
Yeah. While shielding her with his Captain America, like, hologram shield. Yeah. This is absolutely something
while
he
his,
thought about.
While his stand-in daughter used her superpowers to kill aliens. Like, it well, is... It is like the Coulsons wanted to kiss her forever, but it's never been the right moment.
He's like,
the
this right is moment. The right moment.
Well, yeah. And it also says something as happy and exciting as it was also a moment where this could have been the last time I felt yeah. Phil felt an impending doom, which we see later he does faint in the episode. Yeah. Plus, May might not have made it back. There were a lot of conditions. The future it, looking very bleak right now. They're being shot out, which is in super spy world, I can only imagine it's the equivalent of white people in Rain. There's something that, like the Notebook and all
no,
the
right.
scenes
a
where
rain of gunfire. Exactly. Yes,
and that adds up.
So the shield is a bodega.
it was just the perfect moment, perfect time, and it also was a callback to when May was like, "I thought that would shut you up," mm-hmm. because Phil said that, but he said it in such an aggressive but just passionate way. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And if I had a heart, it would have melted. Mm.
My favorite part of that whole scene was in the background yeah. that you see Deke's face out of focus but between them. Just...
And then we get that slow motion close up on Daisy going yeah. like, ugh.
Yeah, then she calls him hot lips.
Mom and dad are kissing.
Exactly. Well, then she calls him hot lips. Which is, I guess, his new call sign.
Hashtag hot lips. Let's talk about
forget cheese. He's hot lips.
I want to know from everybody who watches below, and especially the chat, did you guys agree and like the May Phil kiss and the timing? Was this the right time? Or was it something you would have kept for the series finale or never let happen? So...
I think penultimate episode before the season finale is a good time.
Yeah.
As far as me and my heart and how ship happy I am, I've wanted this for a good long while, and they've been dealing with androids and time travel, and it's never been the right moment. There's never going to be a right moment. This is as close to the right moment as you could possibly get.
Look, yeah. they need to, the two of them need to, like, see if this is going to be able to go somewhere. Like, I still had,
not
like,
Coulson dies.
Phil and, well, I still like Phil and Rosalind, but, like, these two, like, absolutely. they've been playing Will They Won't They for
who's
too long.
Rosalind's been
she,
got
she
ice.
Died
I'm so
in
sorry.
Three.
Who's Rosalind? Here's the thing you have to understand. Who's Rosalind? No one knows. Phil and May. This is the best.
Everyone knows.
There's no way to literally talk about Constance Zimmer. Yeah. How dare you?
This is the best timing because, look, it comes at a situation where, honestly, this is the least commitment you can ever... They're super spies. They can't just specifically be committed. This is the perfect equivalent of, hey, if it doesn't work out, it's because I literally ghosted on you because I'm dead. And now I'm a ghost.
A literal ghost.
I'm a ghost now that I no longer exist.
Coulson would come back as a ghost.
Yeah, but that's the problem is we're in a universe where you could be a ghost and still be around. And then she'd be like, why aren't you calling me? Just because you're a ghost doesn't mean you can't call me.
You're still around.
You're still around.
He's like, no, I can't pick up a phone.
You guys would assume Phil would be like that. I would see May not calling Phil and not the other way around.
Oh, yeah, sure. Both of them.
Now, if you don't notice, yeah. Because I'm making a reference to Iron Man. He's like, that's not his name. It's Agent. But no, it's Phil
his
now.
His name was Phil.
Anytime he falls in love, I call him Phil.
this whole thing, it was such a nice... It was a nice culmination of things. The writing was on point. Everyone's performances were great. This moment was perfect.
It was great for the Mother's Day special.
Yes. Because mom and dad finally got together.
Yeah.
Well, we saw a lot of mom's things happen.
Yeah, there was tons of mom stuff.
Yeah,
there
was. Just in time for Mother's Day, we get a quick shot to Jai Ying's remains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a bunch of moms in this.
There were a bunch of moms. Talbot beat his wife in front of the sun.
I'm pretty sure every 5 minutes in this episode, it was like, Happy Mother's Day, everyone. There's Jai Ying's corpse. Mother's Day, everyone. They're
kidnapped.
A mom. Look at what you made me do. Like, that is the calling card of a woman beater. Like, when he did, I was like, he's about to beat his wife. And sure enough, boom.
Yeah, I think out of all of the moms in this episode, Team Mom May probably came out on top. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I think she's probably having the best Mother's Day out of all of them.
She got to beat up an alien.
Like, she did!
I love that moment. What do you think May's doing right now? Having the time of her life. Cut to her in a knife fight with an alien on a spaceship.
Yeah, an alien who had the nerve to, like, condescend to her about the use of guns.
Yeah, Kovos is strictly anti-NRA. he had that entire, monologue about guns.
His argument made no sense because he's like, you and your kind hide behind guns because it's the thing that the weak use to overtake their opponents. They're not like us. We combat honorably. Now do what I say, otherwise I have projectiles pointed directly at your friends. Do you listen to the words that just came out of your mouth? Because you're sounding real hypocritical right now.
We've seen the social commentary of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season especially with the world being as it is and the political atmosphere in which we all live, where we're very sensitive to politics and, of course, with the unfortunate events. So it was actually a very interesting double entendre on different political things. First of all, of course, the... NRA gun.
I was saying
problem
was a
that
joke,
we have right now.
But yeah,
no, but I don't think it was a joke. I think it was meant for that specifically. It targeted that and social commentary.
He did call people who with guns weak and using them to hide their weakness,
especially the ones who are using it to fight.
Yeah.
Then secondly, was the threat of force, which is something we see politically going, if you don't do what we say because peace, you need to have peace. If you don't, we'll blow you up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the exact situation we see unfolding itself, unfortunately, in the world we live in today.
Sure.
And so I really appreciate this year's political commentary that's been laden inside Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been really good about, holding a mirror to society without being too over. I feel like they were a little bit on the nose last
season. Sometimes they get real on the nose,
but,
for better or worse. They want you to know what they're doing.
But ever since season one, we've got a lot about surveillance states. We've got a lot about, I talked a lot when we were dealing with the Inhuman stuff about how, the debate about putting people on lists. Mm-hmm. And that's something, it's something that the show does so that we can discuss it.
100%. Yep. This show was actually one of my favorites simply because it was extremely profound. When Mac is expressing that every villain is the hero of their own story, mm-hmm. that is a very profound philosophical statement with high resonating implications.
And it's one of the reasons why Infinity War works as a narrative, because it's very much Thanos is the protagonist of that movie.
It's also been, there have been studies that show that's not necessarily true. There are tons of people who do bad things and know they're being bad.
Are those Harvard studies? Because if they're not Harvard studies, they're not true.
Okay. Well, I'll have to go.
Tufts, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. It's just Yale.
not as good.
Yeah. But like, there are people who, like, they're like, oh, I've done a bad thing. Now I'm just I'm going to keep going down this hole that I've dug for myself. And I guess I've decided that because there is no redeeming quality about myself, I am just a bad person. So like there are two sides of that argument. It's kind of convenient sometimes to say people are the heroes of their own stories, because I think sometimes people are the villains of their own stories as well.
Like Daisy points out, people are complicated.
Yes.
People disagree, they get into fights. But, you know, humanity itself, she maintains, is still worth fighting for. And let's talk about that moment where one of the most badass moments, I think, of the season so far is she's trapped in this mindscape beginning of this episode, talking to Papa Cassius. And he's maintained that he's trapped her in this mind space specifically to psychologically break her. And she goes, cool. Cool story, bro. Hold on. Give me just a second. And breaks the thing that has her trapped in this mind space and then proceeds to murder all of the soldiers who are transporting her.
It was so cool. Like, it was so awesome.
The moment it cracks and her eyes just go...
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, this could be fun.
And she immediately orients herself and beats the crap out of these...
I mean, she uses her power, which she couldn't use inside.
Yeah.
On the out, she figures out how to do it on the outside. Like when you have a dream about peeing and then you pee, it's just the same.
Do you think Daisy peed as well?
I think that was her pee of power.
Yeah,
it's a nice little reference there. Jaron, I pick up what you're putting down.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really cool. Whether or not there was pee involved, and I love that Daisy uses. Like she's
it's been, a metaphor, Jesse.
Yeah.
The other Jesse got it.
Oh, okay. I know. I was... All right.
I don't think he knows my name. Michael forgot my name, guys.
Yeah. But I also like that Daisy uses Destroyer of Worlds, which is like a thing that she's been scared of, a name that she's been scared of this entire season. And she uses it as like a power. Like she's like, I know I'm going to beat you. Because I'm the Destroyer of Worlds. It's great that she takes that name back and kind of wears it with honor. So I think that was awesome, too.
Yeah, and she's like, also, your sons are awful and dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And they die.
And they die.
And I watch them die. And it's fun to watch them die.
They die like cowards, which it's kind of interesting because we looked at Cassius for so long. As like the black sheep of the family, as like this pariah who was sent out to this, you know, to basically guard a bunch of rubble for dad. It's interesting to think of like Papa Cassius as sort of being similar because he talks about being on the outskirts of sort of Kree society. So it's kind of interesting to figure out after the fact that the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, it seems like he's just power hungry and he doesn't really care about Kree society.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the Kree have sort of splintered their factions in recent years.
Because like you,
because you see Ronan and Guardians of the Galaxy, a very similar thing where
religious,
the Kree
faithful.
Society as a whole, like giant space head or not, like is moving in one direction, and it splinters out these little groups that are just going to reign. Like chaos on the universe.
Yeah.
I like that we brought the Kree back not only as a callback to earlier seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but also just like the fact that Captain Marvel is on the horizon and that Ronan is coming back as a villain in that movie. Like, I like that we're maintaining the Kree sort of being a presence in the MCU.
Also, we don't know if Ronan's going to be a villain in that movie.
That's true. We don't.
In the comic books, Ronan's very much a tweener. He's either a villain or a hero, depending on the story.
It would be interesting if they painted him in a slightly more sympathetic light.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's for predictions.
Sure.
really quickly, guys, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our aforementioned producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. I've been blown away at how dedicated our fans are to commenting on iTunes and leaving ratings. It's been fantastic, and I don't have it pulled up right now.
Let's read some comments.
I don't have my last. I apologize at the top of the show. but we will get through. We will get to all the ones that we missed from this week next week. So keep commenting, and guys, and let us know.
Fritz would have created one.
Again,
so
you know. We always love to give a shout out to everybody who's commented. And guys, again, next week might, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but next week might be the last Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recap show if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't get renewed. So please go to iTunes and leave a comment so that in case next week is the last episode, we can give you a shout out before our show is done.
Yeah, and the people who watch the show are fantastic. Like throughout the week, people tweeting us and like giving us updates and talking to us.
Yes.
Like that helps.
Are you going to do the shout out, Megan?
That helps us. Are you going to do the Mom's Day Twitter shout out?
Yeah. Mom's Day Twitter shout out.
Because it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I always love it. Like if I'm in the middle of the week and I get a Twitter notification and it's like someone shows us like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. art or like some sort of Marvel news and stuff like that. Like that's always great. And you guys have been fantastic.
And it's also where I often invite Jesse to the Battle of the Death. I tweet you sometimes.
He'll
just tweet you.
He'll slide into my DMs and be like, "Death? Question mark?
You up?
Death AF. You know?
Yeah.
It's just you up and with a picture of a knife.
Yeah.
WYD. And then BTD.
Yeah.
You know? Battle
it's
to death.
Just emojis of skulls and crossbows. Yeah.
So it's actually a fun way to interact with you guys. Thank you so much for doing so.
And we have a quick shout out on Twitter. Jesse on Twitter at JLSmiles22 tweeted us this morning that her daughter, who watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with her, left these on her bed this morning for Mother's Day. Best gift ever. And she sent us a picture of
lemons
that her daughter put on her bed.
How sweet is
three
this?
Lemons.
Three lemons.
That's a lot of love.
There's
so much love. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jesse. It's absolutely adorable.
What a Fitz thing to do.
what a Fitz prank
sounds
that
like
your daughter pulled on you. No joke, though. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. It was incredibly sweet, and we wish you a very happy Mother's Day.
And speaking of Fitz, he and Simmons solved the Coulson death problem.
Yeah, probably.
Or did they?
Well,
they did. It's just whether they follow through on it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I feel real bad for Fitz and Simmons right now. They kind of went a little off the rails with their whole immortality thing for a little bit. But ever since Gemma's gotten back, it's just been people piling work onto her nonstop. Hey, Gemma, do an autopsy on this weird alien guy. Hey, Gemma, here's some alien juice. We need to find out, like, the components of it. Hey, Gemma, we also need you to find a cure for Coulson. Hey, Gemma, here's some centipede formula. Hey, Gemma, can you figure out how to stop Talbot? Cool, thanks, because you don't have anything on your plate.
Yeah. You don't mind if I leave my dead mom's bones on your table, do you?
In this duffel bag? Cool, thanks. Thank you.
I also was surprised. I mean, I guess if you're going to grave rob, you might as well just go for broke, take the whole thing. But
anyway.
Like, I was like, you could have got a DNA sample with like one bone.
Like a fever, right?
Yeah, I feel like if you've decided to be a grave robber,
you don't
50% that.
You're like, come back. Like, yeah, I might as well take the whole thing.
Oh, man.
I liked her and Fitz's interactions this episode as well. Like we were saying, this is a pure S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. And it's like, we get some science-y fun with Fitzsimmons. And it's like, the showrunners and the writers have consistently, pretty much since season one, have been able to handle, like, five B stories. There's like one A story and then five B stories in every episode. And, like, everyone gets featured. Like, everyone gets to do their thing. Like, Deke was awesome this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Every single Deke moment this episode. And more on Tehran's. Deke is not, I'm all team Tehran. I'm like, Deke's a superhero and no one's given him any credit for it.
I feel like Deke's MVP in this episode,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Again.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row. Most valuable player.
He, he saved the day with like nothing.
Yeah. And they underappreciate him. Numbers. They undervalue him.
Yeah.
And he says, and this is actually once again a commentary to us on first world versus third world problems. So the concept is, Deke, you've lived in this world and you only know five numbers. And he says, no, I know six because I know zero, right?
And zero ends up being the key.
Looking at it as if, wow, what an idiot. But people don't realize that when you're in a situation like this, the people in power often keep you uneducated and impoverished in a facet to control you. And that's something we take for granted in the Western world and Absolutely. In the first world is we don't how could someone be illiterate? How could someone be illiterate in the language that they're surrounded by all the time? And we see that often this is a tactic by those in power.
Yeah, and I mean, he even says, like, I found you. They say, like, are you good for anything? He's like, well, I found you.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, I found you. I saved you.
he kind of flourished.
You're in the past because I got us there.
Yeah.
Like, I've done many things, and still, what are you good for, Deke?
Yeah, he flourished as a slave on the lighthouse with only knowing six numbers. But, like, also, he was having a pretty successful kind of lifestyle there. It wasn't a great lifestyle, but it was successful compared to others. Like, he is obviously resourceful.
Yeah.
And, like,
he's very resourceful. Clever.
And he's kind of the comedic element in a lot of stories in the present day, but at the same time, like, you have to remember, like, when we first saw Deke, we're like, what is this, some sort of Star-Lord ripoff? Like, he's incredibly resourceful.
He's flying around with a graviton belt.
Exactly. And so, like, to see him, while I loved the choreography of, while May is fighting Quovos, he is, like, in the background messing with the computers.
And ducking out the way of
it. Ducking through it. And, like, he does an action roll to get somewhere. Like, all of that kind of stuff. And, like, seeing him, like, reroute the missiles. And, like
this one with the sideways chair with a little squiggly line.
Like, get the coordinates to, like, the lighthouse, all of that kind of stuff. Like, that was really fun. And it also really highlighted that, like, Deke's definitely episode MVP. Like, like, none of this is possible if, number one, he doesn't beat the alien with a fire extinguisher to get May and Coulson.
Which is
out.
A brave thing to I do. Also,
he broke that guy's neck with his belt.
Yeah.
I also feel like Deke might end up being, like, from actions here, an MVP of maybe next week or down the line should we get a season six. Because he took that navigation core or, like, hard drive out and just, like,
probably
I'll take this. He pocketed it. Like, who knows where that could navigate them to? They have a spaceship Zephyr now, so they plug that into the coordinates. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they're off to the Kree homeworld to go hang out with the Supreme Intelligence, because I just want to see the Supreme Intelligence.
Okay. You guys. Like, Peter Watson in chat says, how does he know six if he only knows five? And that is a very good point.
Wait, he knows six numbers, including zero.
But he says, so technically six, which means he knows six numbers.
Yeah, zero?
Oh, no, he knows them in the language.
Two language, yes.
Four.
He knows them in, like,
English.
Yeah, he only knows up to five in Kree.
He can count from zero to five
in Kree. He programmed an entire,
the framework.
The framework world. Yeah. With a bad beer in a bar. But he knows more. I guess you could do that with ones and zeros, though.
No. but the conquered worlds, they don't allow you to know the language because they say you're beneath the culture.
Absolutely.
You're beneath the language.
Yes.
So we see something very similar in caste systems in India. And historically, we've seen very similar things in a Roman invasion.
Any colonization.
Exactly.
You deny education.
He is definitely the product of his forebears, you know, Gemma and Fitz. He is absolutely 100% their grandchild, because even though he's played up for comedic elements, his intelligence is consistently what gets
his
him
cunning.
Out.
Yeah. Cunning. He fixes the computer when no one even knew where to start.
Yeah.
And he fixes it. He's like, all right, done.
Yeah. He's not intelligent. He's smart. Like, he uses what he knows incredibly effectively.
Yep.
I would say that he is, like, vastly intelligent too. Like, he just has never had the training to guide that intelligence. Like, yeah. Fitz and Gemma went through years and years. They both are doctors. Yeah. They've studied this. They've trained. PhDs. He just like
several.
Learned on the job. He had old computer parts that he's like, well, if I do this, it turns on.
Yeah.
He scraped by on absolutely nothing.
And it goes once again to that commentary where I say, there right now there's a kid in the hood who would become, who knows, he would become the next Einstein.
Absolutely.
But instead, all he knows is the world around him.
Yeah.
So he's extremely good at dominoes, for example.
Kind of. Oh, go ahead.
And I was just like, we watch that and we just forget that element all the time. And that's why Deke has become expressly my favorite character on the show after Daisy.
Kind of touching on that point. You never know when a side character is going to be become important or yes.
Would
flourish.
You talk about Davis's story.
On this week's episode of Shield Extra Watch,
yeah.
We have some updates. Kim
They're
is
called
dead.
Intern.
Yes, goodbye, Megan.
Well, intern Kim is dead now. Yeah. He lived long enough to get a name, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
Thanks for that talent.
But also, Deke has heard Davis's story and is blown away.
He blew his mind. He's like, wow, that's the most incredible story I've ever heard. What is Davis's life like?
He specifically says, that's the most incredible thing I've ever heard, and I'm the same age as my grandparents.
I'm from the future, and this is the best story anyone's ever told. I died once!
I hope we see a one-shot comic of Davis's story, whatever it is. It's like him versus the Constrictor and something like that.
Last year, we had the Yo-Yo miniseries. Yeah. Maybe we'll get the Adventures of Davis and the other S.H.I.E.L.D. intern.
Oh man! If they are like, all right, here's the thing, guys. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is this is a series finale, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. : interns greenlit.
Just beginning.
Yeah. Please do that.
We are running short on time. Let's talk about Talbot, because he, again, as we pointed out, has kind of gone into full supervillain mode. That entire sequence with him and Creel was incredibly dark, and even though you know where it's going, it's still like it was still rough to watch.
He walks in on a guy who is like effectively he's having major mental problems at this point. Like Creel is. Like he's lost it because he's been infected by this disease, and like the parallels to people who actually have mental illnesses are right there. Talbot came in and offered him a way to break him of that problem, and it just resulted in him
and he's
dying.
An authority for Creel too. He's like, don't worry, son, I know what's best. I'm going to fix this for you. And the sad thing is that I do think Talbot genuinely thought he was helping Creel.
Yeah, I mean, we are very much seeing Robin's drawings come into life where it's going to be 12 people inside that body, all of them, whatever, telling the main body to do something.
Now,
but it looks
the question
like,
is, who are the other seven?
Yeah.
Now, one thing I am wondering about is because he absorbed Creel, does he then also sort of absorb Creel's abilities? Or because Creel turned to gravitonium, is that like... do his abilities no longer matter because he's just gravitonium now?
I don't think his
like
powers
Talbot's
going to
get cut all of a sudden and bald. That would be great. That would be good.
I don't know. It was incredibly dark, and it's sad to see Creel go because that's another season one person that we see leave the show, and he's been with us the entire show.
Yeah, and just absorbing man like having him around and like this portrayal, which was so. Great. Like, not at all what I would have necessarily, like, thought of from the comics. Like, he's just, like, he's some sort of silly character in most stories. But, like, this isn't the bank-robbing Wrecking Crew guy. This was, like, a three-dimensional character with, like, wants and
sad
desires.
Character.
And, like, he wanted to see more of him.
He had an arc and a tragic end. Mac points it out. He's like, I never thought I'd be able to forgive this guy for what he did. But I've come to learn he was a decent human being. He didn't deserve this.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot. And, Yo-Yo touches on it. Mac has an incredible capacity for forgiveness, but none of them are sure whether or not Talbot is going to be able to be redeemed.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, though, what was was their plan. When he went home, effectively, and held his family hostage, what was their plan? They show up in two SUVs and guns, and that's it.
Well, I think I think they didn't know how, because they are unaware of how far Talbot's gone, and I think they went up thinking like they can
talk to
they
him.
Can talk him down, because they didn't start firing on him until he lifted the cars up and threw, he went
but
full Magneto.
They have seen him crush aliens like into little pretzels.
Yes, but those were trying to kill them.
Yeah, that's I think they weren't sure of it, and like Mac, I think, went there thinking like if I can talk to Talbot, he'll come with us and we can help him. And then as soon as they see that he goes full Magneto and he lifts the cars up and drops them down,
spinning bullets around
and he's
him.
Spinning the bullets around and he kills that one guy.
Other shield
warning, his yeah. warning. I'm just warning them, son. Yeah. That's how police officers warn some people, and that's not a good warning. That's that is true. Not the warning.
Yeah, you feel very warned once you're dead. But like that scene, that
fired
scene,
two warning shots into his head.
That yeah, scene two with warning his, shots to the back of his head. That's not warning. That's not how you warn.
That scene with his son, who's like, "You're not the good guy. You're the bad guy," and it all goes completely over Talbot's head. He clearly does, as Max said, he still thinks he's a superhero. He thinks he's with the
Avengers.
He's
the hero of the story.
And we get a time. I'm thinking that this is between the attack on this
on
New
York
and the Battle of Wakanda. Like, we're in between those places. So we still haven't had,
because he thinks he's leaving to help save the day.
Yeah,
which, like, granted, you got those graviton powers at that Battle of Wakanda. It wouldn't have hurt it. It would have hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. If he'd just gone there, it would have been fine. But he's trying to power up, because sure. He's been told he's not powerful enough to stop Thanos.
But we see him say something reoccurring.
Yeah.
I can fix this. He even says it when he breaks his son's Lego
spaceship.
Spaceship. Yeah. I can fix this. He sees everyone
get more gravitonium.
Binary. Either you're with him or against him. Now we're seeing signs of dementia, narcissism, borderline personality disorder, and bipolar. If you're not with me, you're against me. He says that to his wife.
Absolutely.
You've betrayed me. The only way you can come back on is if you are with me all the way.
If you join the collective.
Join.
Yeah.
That's how he's saying it, and he's gaslighting. And this is this is a lot of signs of what we perceive as mental illness, which is once again a throw to the social commentary. But we also see him thinking he is the hero of his story.
Yeah.
And he is leaving a trail of destruction and death in his path. He killed his friend, Creel, who was his friend and subordinate.
But thought he was saving him.
And thought he was saving him. Someone who's trusted him. He basically threatened his son in a way. Mm. Scared his son, if nothing else. But almost, definitely threatened his wife.
Almost killed her.
Yeah.
Who he with her power. And that was restraint on his part. He felt like he did her a favor. Killed an agent that was in the field, flew away only because the only reason Yo-Yo and Mac are still alive is because his son was there to witness, bear witness, and he didn't want to kill them in front of him because he just gracefully flew away. But the son alludes to it. You are a villain. Why are you wearing this outfit? Why are you acting this way? Mm-hmm. There are signs that keep showing, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, heroes don't want to hurt people. He's like, I don't want to hurt them. I'm just warning them.
Yeah. The agent's dead. Like,
yeah, as that S.H.I.E.L.D. intern is bleeding out.
I mean, he does have literal multiple personality disorder, in which there are multiple personalities
inside of him.
Yeah. So, which is, I think, kind of a nice way of segueing into, like, people who do have multiple personality disorder.
They feel that way.
It is the same feeling. It's just not, you can't see the physical people that have been absorbed into them.
And much like he's been using the Quinjet that he stole to track down Creel, he's now tracked down Robin and her mom. And basically he's planning on using Robin to find out where he can obtain more gravitonium. And that's where we leave off for this episode. Mm. So real quick, before we get into some rapid fire predictions, because we are almost out of time, let's talk some news and gossip, because Tehran absolutely had an announcement to make.
If you guys had any news and gossip,
that
you'd like to discuss, I think it'd be a good time. There is that list that the Russo brothers put out, which tells you which people in the Marvel Universe are actually dead from the Avengers movie and not. And so that list is actually a very important list. You should go and check that out if not. And we have a lot of questions. And one of those questions is, TMZ has recently taken amazing photos of Chloe Bennett, Chloe, with her new male friend, Boy Toy. And I would like to show those exclusive pictures, if we may. If we could just throw those on the screen. Oh, look who that is with...
Holy cow!
Daisy! Nice. Oh, let's go to the next picture, shall we? Oh, look, we're having a good old time. And then TMZ, of course, posted one last picture.
You're
which
holding
was very
really
fun.
Still. Yeah. That's impressive.
Well, actually, these are just the three that we've decided to show on camera. If you want to find more, please find me at I Am Toronto
you
all across the board.
Meet Chloe Bennett?
Meet is a startup word. It's, we met. It's we crazy worked that- on a project. We are hanging out. Having a good time. Hi, Chloe. Just wanted to say hi.
It's crazy that TMZ gave you their cameras to take the pictures with.
TMZ actually didn't give me their cameras. TMZ took the pictures.
Okay.
They so, physically took them off of you. Yeah. It's like with a gunpoint.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, congratulations, Teron.
I feel like, cool. I know. If your haters keep hating, bro.
What? That wasn't
haters
a hate.
Haters keep hating. Hey.
Well... we That's look awesome. Forward to hearing more about this project
oh,
that you're
a lot
working
more.
On.
Yeah, sure.
I can't wait to find out more. And I hope you keep us informed as yeah. much as you can tell us without getting yourself in trouble.
Let
I hope
give
you
us
keep
the
us
deets.
Informed. Well, all right, guys, let's go into some real quick rapid fire predictions, and then we got to wrap it up for the night before they kick
Your
us out of the studio.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, next week is the season finale, potentially series finale. Coulson's down for the count, but the team is back together, and Talbot's now got Robin. Where do we think we're going?
I think they're going to try to save Coulson, because they have to give it, they have to put the centipede, they have to go one direction.
They can either use it to save Coulson or to kill Talbot.
I think they decide that saving Coulson is how they break the loop. I think half the team's going to disagree with that, and then Gemma's going to go, my decision, click.
They're going to save Coulson.
Or rather, then, probably Fitz is the one that's going to
They're going to save Coulson, save the day, break the time loop, and then snap. That's what I think is going to happen.
I don't think they save Coulson.
You think he dies in the next episode?
I think we get a new season, and I think that Coulson is not part of that season. I think Coulson...
I think that's a fair passing torch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to say someone in chat said Davis is Killer the Super Scroll, and I said I just want to say don't play with my heart. Don't play. We got Graviton. We'll never get a Super Scroll, so never play with my heart that way. I love Killer the Super Scroll. I agree. I think Coulson dies.
Agent Davies is the one that saves the day. He kills Thanos.
He's the Super Scroll.
Saves the day.
Yeah.
How crazy would that be if Peyton Davis becomes the most important character in the Marvel cinematic and television
only
universe?
Only watching the movies is like, who's this guy? Yeah. Where did he come from?
Davis.
He Nick runs in. Like, he has like he's like one arm's made of rock, one arm's made of fire, and yep. he's real stretchy. There's like, I don't know what the hell.
What's I mean, tosses a new shield at Captain America. He's like, here, Cap, you're gonna need this, and then he punches.
Cap,
Thanos
I took this off of Coulson's dead body.
Oh God!
They're all Dark. Confused. Like he died like 10 years ago.
Yeah. What the heck are you talking about, random rock man?
I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the even if it is the series finale. This show has been so good, consistently good. Every once in a while we get like a clunker, but for the most part, like their storytelling has been optimal, and it's been fantastic like going through it. So whatever happens, I'm really excited for it.
Same here. And yeah. again, we just want to say thank you to all of you guys who've been on this ride with us. Thanks for sticking around, and we hope to see you all next week. Don't forget to comment on iTunes. We want to give you guys a shout-out next week. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
Hey, guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next week's episode. Yep.
Teron.
Well, you can find me and Chloe Bennett out and about, but you can find me on Instagram at I am Teron, IamTeHran, all across the social atmosphere. That includes the tweet. So make sure to tweet me your comments. I'd love to hear from you.
Jesse?
Yeah, you can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can also find me at my other podcast. It's Science AF. It's me and another comedy friend. We interview people in the science world and do comedy riffs based off of scientific stories. It's a lot of fun.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Be sure to follow the whole team at ABTV Marvel. Again, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. And we will see you all next week for the season finale.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hot lips, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.